to Night of the Living Geeks. If you geek out over it, we've got a podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Podcastica, a Doctor Who review podcast here on NOTLG.com, episode 306, The Long Game. My name is John, and joining me every time it gets hot in here, is my good friend Taylor. Taylor, hello.
So hot in here.
Yes, absolutely. Do you recall, I can't remember how many years ago it was, but when that Bay Area station was playing Hot in Here over and over again for
an entire weekend? I had forgotten about that, but yes, I do remember.
Yes, it was good stuff.
Wasn't KMEL? That was...
No. I think it was Hot... It turned into Hot 95.7.
Yeah, or 94.9 or something like that.
Hot 95.7. Cedar Rapids. That doesn't help Bay Area.
No, that's...
Oh, 95.7's the game. I don't know. I couldn't tell you, honestly.
That's okay. Don't even worry about it. It is a reference only, more than likely, only our Bay Area local listeners will go, oh yeah, I remember that.
And also, just speaking of that, Taylor, before we get into what's making us happy this fortnight, we had a, believe it or not, Egyptian museum from San Jose reference on WrestleMania.
I saw someone's tweet about that. I'm assuming you retweeted.
I must have.
And I was like, wait, what?
So just for backstory.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Just for backstory, there is a wrestler named Bailey, who is billed from San Jose / lives in San Jose.
He's billed that way?
She is, yeah.
Sorry, she is. My apologies.
No, you're fine. She's from San Jose, like legit.
Oh, okay.
And she wore like this Egyptian themed gear last night. And
wow.
It was referenced on the show that in her hometown of San Jose, there is an Egyptian museum. And I went, oh, yes.
The Rosicrucian Museum. Yes. One of the largest collection of Egyptian artifacts outside of Cairo itself.
Yeah. Wild.
That is very wild. Four blocks from where I grew up, no less.
Yeah, and there's a Starbucks across the street.
That's true.
And I think the Rose Garden might have also gotten a shout out.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very interesting for me watching that. I was like, whoa, yeah. This is wild.
The Rose Garden and the Rosicrucians, like, social stock just shot up.
Yeah, pretty much. They're going to be a bunch of wrestling fans are going to go there now.
That's wild.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Taylor, how are you?
Better still. Wonderful. I would probably, I'd probably say I'm at like 97%. Like my ears have pretty much cleared up. The cold itself is gone, long gone.
Yeah.
I've just got like leftover allergies.
Yeah.
And I feel like my voice sounds a little funny still. not clown goofy funny, but no. Kind of like scratchy phlegmy funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, like that was no joke. The kids both, I would say they got through it in 3 weeks. I'd probably say it was more like four.
Yeah.
For me. But yeah, energy's up and, you know, everything else is doing pretty good. I'm even like not taking like Zyrtec and Sudafed at this point. I'm like, let's just see how my body does.
Nice.
Cause I'd kind of like to just not have to take stuff like every 12 hours.
Yeah.
And I'd be pretty happy about that. So yeah, doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Funny enough, I was kind of sick last week, all of last week.
Oh no.
Yeah. I had a sore throat for like a day and a half, and then I had like a runny nose for most of that time.
Okay.
But I'm feeling pretty good now. It was not COVID. I tested multiple times. But,
yeah.
It was not that, but I was not feeling great last week, so kind of just laid low. It was also By design, I was going to lay low anyway, but we'll get into that and what's making us happy.
All right.
This Fortnite, would you like to, I mean, I feel like you got a lot to.
I mean, I won't go into every last, nut and bolt detail, but yeah, we had, last week was our spring break trip with the whole family all the way up to Eureka. 350-ish miles away, 5 hours and change. Mm-hmm. More when you account for stops, because we made a point of stopping at Confusion Hill to pay respects to the Bill Cipher statue.
Yes.
And honestly, to take the tour, to pay the, you know, $5 or a person or whatever it is to go in there and have our, hey, this is kind of like the mystery spot, but it's not the mystery spot.
Yeah.
Experience. And so, yeah, that was fun. Eureka is a neat town. In my head, I kind of liken it sort of to, Santa Cruz, but with a much more like mountainous foresty, edge to it. And I realize in hindsight that that's not actually that accurate, because Santa Cruz is very much a surf town.
Uh-huh.
You can, like, most of Eureka basically faces Humboldt Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, kind of like barrier islands that protect the bay from open ocean. And one day we did go out onto one of these barrier islands to the town of Samoa. And yeah, which is funny, because just down the road is the town of Manila. I think you can take a guess as to what sorts of populations lived in those places at one time. The open ocean was pretty churned up and angry.
Oh boy.
I won't lie. I wouldn't even try to bodyboard it, honestly, let alone surf it right there. But there are spots, a little further up the coast that I hear are good. Had a good time. Had a great time checking out historic downtown. Kind of like, we always like doing the thing where we drive around and go, ooh, I want that house. Ooh, I want that house, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a lot, because it's a very, like, there's a lot of Victorian homes. And it's kind of funny, the further you go out from, like, downtown, you can actually kind of watch the age of the houses. Kind of like, oh, here's a arts and crafts style. Oh, here's a, a mid-century modern house, the further out you go. Really and truly, I think the coolest experience we had was actually getting to go to Blue Ox Millworks and take the tour. It's an hour and a half long tour. I highly recommend it. Had a chance to meet and take pictures and talk with Eric Hollenbeck, who is, the craftsman. I've mentioned the show a few times before. So if you got HBO Max, or if you actually still have cable and get the Magnolia Network for whatever reason, and they're airing it, please check it out, because it's really just, it's a great show to chill out to, if nothing else. So it was kind of exciting to not just see places in Eureka that you see on the show, but to actually, tour the mill works and be like, oh wait, this is where he always sits when they, he talks about this, that, or the other thing, or I'm like, oh, I recognize this, or I recognize, this tool or that, what room or whatever, all that kind of stuff. It was really awesome. He, bless him, I mean, the dude's in his mid 70s. And he literally spent time talking to both my kids. And like, they both brought, I don't even know that they realized that they meant to do it, but they both brought stuff that they had made themselves. And he, genuinely asked about them and was curious and interested about them and, encouraged them to kind of like, keep up with doing that kind of stuff. And it just, it was really meaningful to kind of like watch this person who has no real connection to them, connect with them. And yeah, it was neat. I mean, That's great. Emotional. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Got some great pictures and stuff. We're gonna make some thank you cards, and we're actually gonna take one of the pictures of Eric and both the kids, and Kobe's gonna laser it into some wood.
Oh, cool!
And we're gonna send that up.
That's great.
Yeah. They've got a few little shelves there in the office where, you know, when people send stuff, they stick it up there. And so
that's great. That's very cool.
Yeah. Quite honestly, I tell you, it three full days was not enough.
Oh, wow.
There's more to explore up there. Like we really didn't kind of like leave Eureka proper. You know, there's Arcata and there's some places north of there that have some neat stuff to look. I mean, if you're willing to make a couple hour drive, there's a big old Bigfoot museum in Willow Creek and stuff. So there's more to explore up there. So hopefully we do at least one more trip up that way.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It felt like a longer drive home. It was a large chunk of Saturday. So it's pretty tired.
Oh boy.
By the time we got home, and then, you know, having one day off to do laundry, and now I'm back to work. So yeah, I would have liked a full weekend, but biggers can't be choosers. We still had a great time.
Wonderful.
Yeah. What about you? What's making you happy?
Oh boy. Well, let's see. Last weekend, right? Not the weekend that just passed. The one before. The weekend
before.
Yep. I went to WonderCon.
Oh yeah.
And I got to interview some of the people from Resident Alien.
Yes.
Which was excuse me.
I need to watch that show.
You do. It's absolutely fantastic, and you would very much enjoy season three. Season three is fantastic. But I got to interview Chris Sheridan, who is the creator and showrunner. Corey Reynolds, who is also on that show, and my neighbor Sarah Tomko. It was great. It was a lot of fun. She did not know I was going to be doing it.
That's funny.
So they brought them into the room. Like, we had a press room, and they brought them in, and they were just, you know, hi, like, shaking hands with everyone. And she saw me, and she was like, John, we saw each other. We did it. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, what are you doing here? And I just held up my cue cards, and she was like, oh, are you interviewing us? I said, yes. And she's like, awesome. Oh, that's great. That made my day. And she introduced me to as her neighbor and friend to Corey and Chris. It was very fun. I wished I had gotten a little more time with them. I only got about 5, maybe 6 minutes with them. But
wow, really, that was it, huh?
Yeah, I was told 15, but I think things went long, and I don't know. But it was fine. It was very good. It was a lot of fun.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was very cool, and I had a panel that night, which was I'm trying to think of the words, and I can't remember words.
Oh, was this like the fantasy draft one?
Thank you. It was the fantasy draft
one
from my friends over at the Welcome Party. Mm-hmm. And basically, it was teams of two, three teams, and you were given three characters to choose from. And then you would be given scenarios after all the characters were chosen, and it is basically like debate. So
yeah,
there was one, and I have yet to find this footage yet, but I know it exists. I just have to find somebody that has it. There was one where the audience got to choose a color for each team, and then it was be revealed what character you got based off of the color. And
ooh, okay.
It was pink, red, and blue, and we got blue, and it was revealed, the characters were revealed, and blue was represented by Bluey, and
yes.
I was very excited. I have to find the footage of this. I know it exists. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. That was great. This past week was WrestleMania. Which was an amazing week of wrestling. I went over to two different places over the weekend to watch it with friends, and it was great.
Nice.
And there's got to be something else. Oh, I think I might have seen two movies. Did we talk about Ghostbusters?
Yes,
we did. This month has been just a blur for me. It's literally just me. Same. and the two dogs. So I can never remember what when I saw a movie or what. I have no idea. But I did see Godzilla Kong.
Okay.
It was fine.
It was fine. Okay.
Yeah. I'm just glad we got Godzilla Minus One. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Something else I need to see.
Yeah. That movie was amazing. But I think that's everything.
You know, speaking of, speaking of Bluey, I actually saw, I think the official BBC Twitter retweeted just this little clip from Bluey. And I, you know, they'll do make believe stuff. And Bandit is like, you know, showing the house. And
oh, I would just watch that. Yeah, that's sorry to interrupt you. That's from Ghost Basket, the new episode that is streaming on Disney Plus right now. So
there is a
brand new episode out that I watched last
night. And there's a little TARDIS reference. Oh, it looks a little small. It's bigger on the inside.
Yes
I'm like, all right, I can dig it.
Very fun. Yeah. great episode. And it's that show is just so good.
It is.
And I think the 30-minute episode it comes out this weekend, I think.
Wow.
Yeah,
an extended play episode.
Yep.
All right.
Okay, well, let's get into some Who news, shall we? Yeah,
because since we recorded last, we got yet another trailer.
Yes.
Easter Sunday, we got a trailer plus we got all our episode titles.
Yeah.
So, episode one, Space Babies. I swear I remember the 12th Doctor complaining about putting stuff like space in front of other words.
Yes.
It's like, why do you do that? Well, apparently Russell says, I don't care. I'm doing it. Space Babies. Second episode, The Devil's Cord. I'm excited for this one.
Yes.
I can't wait to see. And then we get The Return of the Moth.
Yes.
With Boom. Mm. And then we get an episode called 73 Yards.
Yeah. Most of these episodes are written by Russell V. Davies.
Yes. He has been a busy little boy and pretending to be Chibs, apparently.
Yes.
In that sense, and possibly in that sense only. After that, we have Dot and Bubble.
Yes. I remember seeing
a cute Australian, you know, girl and her kangaroo.
No, but I do remember seeing this little slug monster very early on.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Then we have Rogue.
Yes.
And then we start winding it up with The Legend of Ruby Sunday.
Yeah.
And a very calm, chill, not dramatic sounding episode, Empire of Death.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy is right.
Oh, right. And we're getting the first two episodes back to back. So
that's correct.
And by back to back, I mean on the same day.
Yeah, dropped together.
Yes.
So we'll have to decide. We should make those two separate episodes, I think. I think trying to review two episodes in one go would be kind of...
Yeah, that might not be a bad idea. We can discuss that.
We got a little time to figure that out.
Yeah, we got a little time.
Indeed, we do. Well, a little bit of sad news. Coming... to us as well. Adrian Schiller, he played Uncle in The Doctor's Wife. He has passed.
Oh, Uncle. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, he was great as Uncle.
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel like everybody in that episode. 1964, 2024, he was only 59 or 60 years old.
Yeah.
And I say it that way only because I don't know when his birthday was.
Yes.
When they put this stuff out and it's just year and year, I'm like, okay, but has his birth passed?
Yeah.
Anyhow, yeah. Very sad. Yeah. Now, we talked about The Devil's Cord a little while ago.
Yes.
You know, we talk about it being the Beatles episode. And interestingly enough, the episode itself sprang from the age-old problem of trying to do a Beatles episode.
Copyright?
Licensing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah. So this comes to us by way of Empire Online. Links in the show notes. To celebrate the show's latest regeneration, the notion of doing a Beatles episode had always hit a certain stumbling block, but that in itself became a source of inspiration. And Russell says, I knew instantly you can never play Beatles songs on screens because the copyright is too expensive. So I'm thinking, how would you do a Beatles episode without Beatles music? And that becomes the entire plot.
Love it.
That's where the idea came from. Copyright law.
Jeez.
I know. Hopefully it's not all set in like a law office, but I think we know that already. He says it also came from a conversation that proved to Davis the legacy of the Beatles still has meaning for younger generations. There's a young director named Sam Arbor who I've kind of been mentioning for a while, and when I told him I was going back to Doctor Who, he was just 21 and said, oh my god, if I had a TARDIS, I'd go back and watch the Beatles recording their first album. And I thought, for a 21-year-old to say that, it must mean there's something to that idea.
Yes.
So, if you want to read the article in full, the link is in the show notes. Or go grab a copy of Empire Magazine if you are so inclined.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Well, there is no Gallifrey 1 news, is there? Do tickets go on sale at the end of the month or something like that?
Sometime in April. I do know that.
Tickets go on sale this April. That's all it says on the website. All right. So this week we watched The Long Game, starring Christopher Eccleston as the Doctor, Billy Piper as Rose, Bruno Langley as Adam Mitchell, and Simon Pegg as the Editor. It was written by RTD and directed by Brian Grant. It first aired May 7th, 2005, and it is the seventh story of Season 1. And we have a decent amount of story notes brought to us by the fine folks over at the TARDIS Wiki.
Yeah, indeed. The working titles, we love a good working title for this episode, were The Companion Who Couldn't, pretty accurate, and Adam.
I think what we got is way better.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
According to Russell T. Davies, this episode was based on an idea that he submitted to the Doctor Who production team in the late 1980s.
Whoa.
Whether it was ever read by the production team at the time is not clear, as Davies received a rejection from the BBC script unit, who advised him to write more realistic television about a man and his mortgage instead.
Okay.
Dang. Yep. The story title, The Long Game, foreshadows events of Bad Wolf and Parting of the Ways. The Jagrafess and the Banks are playing the long game, or at least the long con, on humanity.
Yes.
I am about to have a John Pingle moment here. Simon Pegg had great difficulty saying the mighty Jagrafess of the Holy Hadrojassic Maxadronef Info. See, I got close.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. The scene in the episode features the best take he could do, with the monster growling over the bits he got wrong.
I love it.
Yep.
That's great.
Yep. This was the first story in the revival series of Doctor Who to feature an antagonist that did not return during the 10th Doctor era across all different types of media.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
I know. Adam, of course, has the dubious distinction of being the first and, to date, only known companion to have his TARDIS traveling rights revoked by the Doctor due to bad behavior.
Yeah.
Yep. The frozen vomit that Adam spits out in one scene was, in fact, a kiwi and orange ice cube.
Cute.
Yeah. Yeah. The monitors, if you paid close attention to those, displayed stills from various BBC programs, including old episodes of Doctor Who, such as The Ark in Space and The Leisure Hive.
Oh, I did not catch that.
I read that note when I was putting this together, and then when I watched it on Sunday, I didn't notice either. But cool. The head spike originally involved the entire cranium opening up rather than just a forehead aperture.
Yeah, I wonder what changed their mind on that.
I know, right?
Budget.
And lastly, perhaps most aptly, this episode has the dubious distinction of being ranked as Doctor Who magazine readers' least favorite Ninth Doctor story in all three of their major polls held since its airing.
Wow. That
being 2009, 2014, and 2023.
And that's just for nine. It's not like bottom.
Just for nine.
Okay.
No, it's not bottom of all of Doctor Who, but the least favorite Ninth Doctor story.
Wow, wow, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, you don't have much to choose from, so.
True.
All right, Taylor. You have a world-famous synopsis for us, so take it away.
All right. The Doctor and Rose and Adam. Yeah, he's there too, huh? land on satellite 5 in something like the year 200,000, where Simon Pegg is not at the Winchester having a pint until it all blows over. He's actually the puppet of a giant meaty thingy that's controlling all the news that's fit to print across the whole of the human empire. In fact, Max, as he's called, I actually find it kind of funny because the source that I use to watch this episode is also called Max, has been guiding and shaping humanity for the last 100 years. Oddly, an almost 20-year-old episode about using the news to control humanity is oddly prescient. But can the Doctor and Rose figure out the long game and play to win? Well, we can only watch and find out.
Oh boy, Taylor. All right. Overall thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, it's not the best story ever. There's a lot I didn't love about it. There's some effects that I feel like I can't even say don't hold up, because even at the time when I watched it, it was like,
yes,
this isn't a great special effect.
No.
But I do think that the idea of the news media controlling the populace, you know,
yeah, I mean, it's a very
holds up pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's still something we're kind of dealing with today.
Yeah. The overlying plot, yes, is very, very rings true. I don't know if it's evergreen, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. This was just kind of I watched it and I was like, okay. that was pretty much it. It was nice to see Simon Pegg. Mm-hmm. I thought he did a very good job. I mean, I guess really the main story plot. Oh, I don't even know if that's correct English. The main plot of the story, I think is what I was trying to say, is basically we take Adam on this adventure, and he makes a boo-boo. He gets too tempted. Now, I think I'm interested in this discussion that we could have about Adam here. Now, I want to make sure my memory is correct. He was one of the, like, tech guys in Dalek, right?
Yes.
And was Dalek right before this?
I'm pretty sure Dalek was the sixth episode of season one, and this was episode 7, so yes.
Right, so Rose says, hey, come travel with us. Okay, yes. I don't know about you, but I think up until a point, Adam is not given the correct tools, I feel, to be a good companion, in the fact that the Doctor just goes, I don't know, figure it out.
I will agree with you there.
I felt like that was just very, like, he gives him unlimited credits.
Mm-hmm.
And then just goes, figure it out, which is not great. But also, I mean, how could he have known that he would go get a brain implant?
Well, yeah. See, I mean, I feel like Adam is kind of like there's two sides to the idea of being a companion, right? And one side, as we see through Adam, is the fact that, oh my gosh, I'm in the future.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this is Back to the Future too. You know, I could take advantage of this knowledge.
Yes.
And you know, do something with it, and have that kind of, you know, short-sighted view of you know, looking for your own personal gain.
Yes.
Rather than going, oh wait, no, if I take this knowledge back with me, I am going to change this future into something else.
Yes. And I feel like, at least from what I can recall, we've never seen a doctor just tell someone that they're traveling with to just go figure it out. I think I'm just having a real issue with, he brings him on, he's still getting used to the fact that he has time traveled, and we just like, well, I better just leave this guy to his own devices.
Yeah.
Which just feels really unlike the doctor.
I'm trying now. Of course, we reviewed Dalek a long time ago.
Yes.
So I'm trying to remember if the Doctor was annoyed that Adam got invited along.
I mean,
or did the Doctor invite him?
I mean, I could check, but I just don't know. I don't know if I would get cadence off of this.
Give me half a second to get to the end of the transcript for Dalek.
He's all on his own doctor, and he did help. He left you down there. So did you. What are you talking about? We've got to leave. Doctor, plus he's a bit pretty. Rose, I hadn't noticed. Doctor, on your own head. Doctor unlocks the TARDIS. What are you doing? She said cement. She was joking. We're going to get sealed in. Mm-hmm. Doctor and Rose go in. So
it seems like Rose kind of talks the doctor into it, and he goes, okay, it's on your head.
Yeah.
Whatever happens.
Right.
So if we take that into the beginning of this episode, the doctor's annoyed.
He's annoyed at having... then he leaves Rose to it, I guess.
Sort of.
I mean,
you know, and the doctor goes, well, you know, what better way of kind of like, you know, getting the feel for things than to just, you know, jump in, you know, eat the bad food, make the mistakes.
Right. But you know, he doesn't
use the wrong phrases.
But he doesn't say, like, you figure he would give him some sort of, we're in the future, don't do anything. I don't know. It just feels very like, I get that he's annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
But also, and I guess we have to remember what doctor we're talking about, so
mm-hmm.
we can't really get to, he wasn't thinking about this guy would want unlimited power, which I don't have on the board anymore. That's a bummer. But yeah, I don't know. I think for me, that was like a very bit, like, listen, I'm glad Adam is immediately gone, because clearly he... was talked into getting the implant by Tasman Grigg, I believe is her name. She's mm-hmm. from one of my favorite British comedies, Black Books.
Okay, I'll say that name does sound familiar.
And she's also on Episodes, which was a Stars show. And who was in that? It was episode show. It was it was Matt LeBlanc. It was Matt LeBlanc.
Oh, okay.
Tasman Grigg. I don't know. It looks like Greg, but it has an I in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen McGann was also in it.
Okay.
This show was fantastic, and I unfortunately stopped. It was on for 6 years. Wow. Maybe I'll get back into that. But it was very, very good. And I mean, Matt LeBlanc plays Matt LeBlanc. So it's
right.
Very good show. But yeah, I couldn't. I was like, oh, yeah, there she is. And that was a fun little thing. But yeah, Adam very much talked into getting the implant.
Yeah.
And then he uses it for his own purposes. Basically, what does he get the information for? It's like a processor, a computer processor.
Yeah, basically that. The history of the semiconductor.
Yes. So he wants to, like, get rich off of that.
Yeah.
In the process of doing so, he basically... The computers within our space station cannot ID the doctor or Rose. They literally just say, he is no one, she is no one.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he's plugged into the computer, it's a vice versa thing. So the computer gets all of his... information, and
right.
then they can identify the doctor and Rose, and that they're what they are and where they're from.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the TARDIS key.
Oh, right.
So there's
Rose
a lot.
Very unwisely gives Adam the TARDIS key.
Yes, that to me, I thought was all. It also is. It's honestly, it's both of the doctor and Rose's fault. Because they literally just leave this guy by himself. There's no one to, like, chaperone him. And she gives him the TARDIS key, which is even crazier.
Let's be honest. I think for any first adventure, you know, if you're going to go traveling with the doctor, you need a mentor for at least a couple of adventures.
Yeah.
To avoid situations just like this.
Absolutely. So, I mean, for me, that was pretty much the main story going mm-hmm. on there. I thought everything else was fine. Like I said, Simon Pegg did a very good job.
Can I say, though, I think Simon Pegg was criminally underused.
Oh, I
in this story.
I agree. I kind of wish he didn't. Was he eaten or he exploded or something?
I think when the Jaggerfest got a little too hot under the proverbial collar,
yes,
he was probably taken out with that. I mean, he does look kind of frosty for much of the episode, and I try to say that as a Nick Frost joke because we at least got Nick Frost in a Christmas special.
Yes.
So to only get Simon Pegg for what has been dubbed the worst Ninth Doctor story is kind of sad.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I like Simon Pegg as an actor. I would love to see him do something else.
It'd be great.
To have him in the long game, it's like, yay, Simon Pegg's in Doctor Who. It's in the worst Ninth Doctor episode.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, that was definitely a bummer.
It was the early 2000s. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, he is a star, and I mean, he was a star. And when was this? 2007?
2005.
So I mean, I know Spaced had ended a couple of years before that, which is a great show if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
This was 2007?
No, 2005.
2005. I don't know if he was in any... Oh, Shaun of the Dead had come out.
Mm-hmm.
So he was fresh off of Shaun of the Dead. So, I mean, he was a name. Was in like, back then he was also a name. Not like...
Right.
Yeah, so...
Like he's not now.
Right.
Now.
Anyway.
But yeah.
But I agree. He should have been used more and better. Honestly, I think it would have been fine if he was the main villain and just Max was his... Not like his, I guess, like his pet that he would just make him eat people. I think that might have given us a little more.
Or, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, because realistically, you know, you've got someone with the character of Simon Pegg.
Yes.
You know, basically playing, you know, the puppet, the right hand, so to speak, of a poorly CG'd giant bag of flesh with a mouth of pointy teeth that has clearly a light source coming from a different angle than the rest of the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not great.
Yeah. It was something for sure. I mean, I don't really have a lot. I mean, we got the Bad Wolf TV reference.
Yeah. We get the little nods here and there.
I mean, the ending's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Where they just drop him off and his mom's like, oh, 6 months went by just like that, and snaps her fingers.
Yep.
And sees her son's brain. yeah, I mean, I don't really have a lot more to say here.
Yeah, I mean, my only other comment, and unfortunately it's more of a critique, is just kind of the seemingly random numbers, you know, that Earth suddenly has 5 moons and it supports 96 billion people. And it's like, does that even make sense?
Does it matter?
Like, is that even possibly feasible?
Yeah.
I do appreciate the fact that I think there's one shot of Satellite 5 where you can see the surface of the Earth, and they've done at least a little bit of an overlay on it.
Yes.
You know, it's clearly futuristic.
Yeah, you can see like industrial buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I can appreciate that. You know, we always try to look for the bits of the story that we do like. And I did appreciate just that little touch of detail there.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I don't, I'm trying to think there's really anything else, but I mean,
not really.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine with wrapping it and hitting some buttons here.
Works for me.
Okay.
I've got all the machinery I need. Stand back.
It's time for the Dubbin Scare.
I mean, I don't... Did anything happen Duggan-wise? I mean, I guess our... and her name escapes me.
Suki.
Is Suki the one that helps us?
No. That's what was her name? Suki was the one who got promoted to
promotion. Yes, promotion.
Floor 500.
Yes.
Let's
see if I can find her real quick.
Yeah.
Why does it? Oh, I looked up the wrong one. I looked up. I looked up Boomtown.
Kathika.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Kathika does do a, I assume, a kind of a Duggan-y thing. where it's like she's like, I'm gonna go into I'm gonna open up my little third eye here and destroy the infrastructure with the knowledge I have.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you could, that might be a little bit of a stretch because it technically is, she does override the system and mm-hmm. overheat Max and he explodes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, it is. If anything, I'm going to give it like a 0.5.
I was just going to say that, yeah. 0.5's fine.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
All right.
Gathering close, it's time for the Behind the Close Game.
All right, Taylor, what do you think here?
I mean, the story itself, it's a little creepy.
Yeah.
And it makes attempts at being scary with some kind of like normal horror tropes.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't call it hugely scary.
No.
Maybe if you've got little kids who are kind of extra easily scared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, maybe watch during the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could see that. I mean, Max is like at least disturbing looking. It's like a blob with teeth. So right. Yeah, just a little creepy.
And then you get, you know, the one scene where you get up to floor 500 and there's like,
oh, the dead bodies,
dead desiccated bodies, yeah, and stuff like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, there you go. There you have it, folks.
Well, about it.
Next time, and I feel like after next time, no, we've got two more episodes till
the new season.
To the new season here.
Okay.
But next time, we're going to be watching Boomtown, starring Christopher Eccleston as the Doctor, Billy Piper as Rose, and John Barrowman as Captain Jack. I feel like other people are in it because we're near the end of the season, but those are the top three, folks. It was directed by Joe Hearn and written by Russell T. Davies. Yeah, we're going to have to start spreading it out here, folks, because we're running real low on classic Doctor episodes.
And again, in terms of classic Doctor episodes, a lot of six-parters or better.
Yes, but I mean, it's I feel like we are... Who episodes left? Is that our... Yeah, I feel like we have a lot of... Obviously, we have a lot of 10... and 11 to do. We actually have a lot of 11. I continuously forget, and 10. I continuously forget that we started with 12.
Yeah.
We did. But yeah, just making our way downtown.
Exactly.
All right. So until then, you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at the Podcastica. You can follow me on Twitter at JPThrice, and you can follow Taylor on Twitter
at BusBuddha71.
Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify. Just look for Podcastica, and please rate and review us as well. You can also head on over to SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/TheNOTLG. And if you want to buy, I don't know what the weather is right now. It was like 40 degrees three mornings in a row.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wish I had an NOTLG sweatshirt to wear. And if you're feeling that way, notlg.myspreadshop.com. And if you just want to donate monetarily to keep this train a-moving, patreon.com/NOTLG. And that is that for us this week. Join us again in 2 weeks' time when we talk Boomtown. And we'll talk to you guys then.
See ya. And Adam, yeah, he's there too, huh?